Okay, great. That's great. I can't see you, but I know you're there now. I wonder whether Christmas 2007 will prove to be the most memorable Christmas that you have. I genuinely wonder whether, for some of you here tonight, you'll look back on Christmas 2007 and you'll say, that was the year that I met Jesus in a personal and in a life-changing way. Not just fond memories a few weeks' time, but years down the line, you point back to this Christmas and maybe even this carol service, and you say something like, something happened that day. I began a journey towards Jesus, towards coming to know Jesus that day. Do you know, there was a survey done recently asking people's views on Christmas, and it came back surprisingly negative. There was lots of talk about stress and pressure, especially financial pressure. Now, given the fact that the average UK credit card bill now is over £4,000 per household, you can understand why. There can be immense pressure on people to keep up with the latest crazes and the latest toys, almost like a present wars, you know. Oh no, they've bought me this kind of thing, now I've got to buy them something just as good. And it can be a huge pressure. You can imagine the mum in October, just clearing the Christmas debt from last year, walking into Sainsbury's, and what does she hear? Oh no, it sounds like carols. Tinsel, the seasonal aisle is there. What a nightmare, you know. And you just think, surely this isn't how it should be. Surely this isn't really Christmas. Maybe this year you can rediscover the magic of Christmas if you have lost it. And I want to say to you with 100% conviction today, if you want to rediscover the magic of Christmas, you have to go back to Bethlehem. And when you go back to Bethlehem, you won't find a religion, you won't find a philosophy, you won't find an institution, you will find a person. And in fact, if you believe what the Bible says, you will find the Creator wrapped in swaddling bands, lying in a feeding trough. It's a mysterious thing, I know, and I can't explain it fully, but I'm standing here as someone who has encountered this Jesus, and I've never been the same since. That was a long time ago. You know, a lot of people in our society scoff the idea of God, and yet thousands and thousands still throng the stadiums and arenas of our country to sing their praises to their latest celebrity or band or football team, perhaps unable to hide the human's deepest need, which is to worship. The Bible says we were made not just by Jesus, but for him. And until we meet him, and until we discover him personally, there is that almost that indefinable emptiness, that ache, that longing to worship. And so I guess we can scoff and say certain things, but inside, only the Lord knows what we were really made for. You see, as we go back to Bethlehem, the questions are answered. Science, with all its amazing knowledge, has done well at answering some of the how questions, how this may have happened, how that's happened. But when it comes to why, science doesn't even pretend to have the answers. It actually volunteers and says, look, we have no answers to the why questions. Why are we here? Why, with all of our scientific knowledge and discoveries and technical advances, are we still what we've always been morally? Why? There's no answers to that in science. But you go back to Bethlehem and all of the questions are answered. Why did God come? I'll tell you why. Because he loves us. And if you take one thing back from this service today, please know this. Tonight, you are loved. You are loved by a personal creator. And it may seem too good to be true. And you may be sitting there thinking, but you don't know what I've done. Let me tell you, he doesn't love you because you're lovely. He loves you because he's perfectly loving. The Bible says that God is love. He loves you. That's the first why question answered. Secondly, why did he have to come? Okay, he loves us, but why did he have to come? Because, and I'm going to wince a bit as I say it, but sometimes you just need the right diagnosis in order to get healed, because we're sinful. Oh no, it's a word that's not often used, but the Bible says that actually we're not as we ought to be. We're out of kilter. And maybe in our more reflective moments and less defensive moments would even admit, yeah, some of the things I think, some of the things I say,
some of the things I've done. But that's why he came. He came to rescue us out of that. He came to draw us back to himself. What do we need? That's a question. But above all else, what do we need? In one word, him. We need him. We don't need religion. You're absolutely right. We need him. We need to know him. He's the one who made us. And until we know him, there's that sense of, what am I? And we can look here and look there to created things. We can look to ourselves, to another person, perhaps to someone famous, perhaps to an ideology. But it's him. It's him. All things were made by him and for him, the Bible says. And so how can we discover Jesus? I want to mention two kinds of people in the Bible and leave it with you to ponder. The first group are what we sometimes call the three wise men or the three kings. Do you know what? They weren't kings and they probably weren't wise men. The Greek word is magi, which is where we get our word magician. They were guys that were into the occult. They loved all that kind of spooky religious spiritual stuff. They loved that. In fact, why did God bring a star? Because they were astrologers. They loved astrology. They were looking up there anyway. That's why God used a star. And I want to point out to you that God used something that was very natural to their experience to get them to Jesus. And that's one way that God brings people to Jesus. That's one way that God draws people to come to know Jesus. He uses something that's very natural. You see, for you it might be maybe someone at work started, someone's come to your workplace and they love Jesus and you think, hey, hold on a minute, they love Jesus and they're slightly normal. I didn't know people like that existed. But maybe God is using that person to draw you to Jesus. Maybe someone in your family started loving Jesus. And it seems like the very natural thing, just someone, and they're talking to you. Maybe God's using that person to draw you to Jesus. Or maybe you're lying in bed one night and you suddenly remember a Sunday school lesson from years ago. Something just in part of your background, part of your past. What's happening there? God is reminding you of stuff to draw you to Jesus. The second group of people were the shepherds. Now notice something, the shepherds are very different from the magi. You see, the magi were spiritual types. I imagine the shepherds were much more down to earth. They're manual workers. I've been a labourer and for a few years in my time, and you tend to find the guys on the building site, they're down to earth normally, not into the hoity-floity stuff. They just want to get on, do their work, live a good life. You know, I'm sure the shepherds were a bit more like that, a bit more down to earth. The lesson there is this, God doesn't call one certain kind of person. He's not just after one type. He'll go for the spiritual type. He'll go for the down-to-earth type because God loves us all. He's impartial. And so he comes to these shepherds. But notice this. For the shepherds, it's the most unusual thing. Suddenly, there's an angel there appears. And then the angel announces the good news. And then suddenly, this says, there's a whole heavenly host. Now, the word host means army. So suddenly, you've got a sky full of these warrior angels singing the praises of God. The shepherds weren't used to this. What's happening there? God is using a totally different means to draw these people to Jesus. Very unnatural, surprising means. And I would bet my life, if there's 100 people in this room, there's probably 20 people in this room that have had some kind of dream or vision or unusual experience that you can't, maybe you've never even told anyone about because you think they'll think I'm crazy. But something's happened which makes you think, man, maybe is there a God? I've got a friend of mine, very down-to-earth guy. He's a driver, drives for a printing company for a living. Only come to know Jesus about 3 weeks ago. About 3 months ago, he's lying in bed and he just hears the audible voice of God. I mean, just remarkable. He's not that sort of person, if you know what I mean. He's very normal. I've spoken to people that have said, well, actually, you know, when I was 7, this happened. And they tell me about a vision of Jesus. But I've never told anyone. They're afraid that, you know, someone's going to ring up the people in the white jackets are going to come and take them away. I tell you, God will use very natural means. God will use really supernatural means. But what he's trying to do the whole time is say, look, come and find out. What did the Magi do? When they saw the star, they went on a journey to discover Jesus. What did the shepherds do? The angel said, the king's been born in Bethlehem. They went on a journey to discover Jesus. All I want to say to you tonight is this. Maybe you being here at this moment is God's way of saying to you, listen, why don't you go on a journey to discover Jesus? Not religion, but Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. What if there is a God? And he loves you. I tell you, let me declare to you tonight, 16 years ago, this Jesus changed my life. I wasn't even looking for him. He's the most wonderful, faithful Savior you can imagine. And so really, I want to just provoke you tonight to ask, is God calling you? Is God knocking on the door of your heart? It says in the Bible, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, talking about your heart. And he says, if you open, I will come in and feast with you. It's spiritual language, talking about fullness and having a great time together. Basically, there's a responsibility on us. If we hear the door knocking of our heart, Jesus is there to say, come in. Because he generally, most of the time, doesn't just crash in. He waits for us to open our heart. Will you open your heart to Jesus tonight? I want to let you know that as you discover Jesus, you will discover dramatic change, dramatic revolution. Things will happen inside that perhaps you think, oh my goodness. I mean, it's very, very life-changing, but very, very exciting. Let me finish by urging you tonight, don't ignore the voice of God. It might not always come as we expect it, but if you sense something's going on, please don't ignore it. There are these little booklets called Why Christmas that are very, very helpful, very accessible, and really just talk a little bit about why we celebrate Christmas, why we go for more than just a Disney Christmas, but I really want to go for a Jesus Christmas. It's a very good booklet. These are free, and we'll gladly give these to anyone who wants to find out more. After I finish speaking, there's one more carol. After that carol, if you just feel your heart's been touched in any way, you feel like, man, I'd love someone to pray with me. I'd love to talk to someone a bit more about Jesus. We would love to pray with you, chat with you. So just feel free at the end of the carol to just come down the front. And we, as long or as short as you need to talk or chat or pray, whatever, there's no pressure, but we just love to connect with you and just demonstrate God's love in some way. So I'm just going to pray and then we're going to go in for our last carol of the evening. Lord, thank you that when we come to you, we don't have to pretend to be something that we're not, but that you came right into our darkness and you want to draw us right back into your light. I think we don't have to try and put on airs and graces or go through rituals and routines to come into your presence, but that your own wonderful Son has made a way back into your presence. And Lord, I want to pray for my friends here tonight, that any, Lord, that you are calling, any hearts you're knocking on, Lord, you would give them the bravery to go on a journey to discovering you. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.